Hello there. It's Rich. When I was a freshman in college, I remember feeling overwhelmed at just how much coursework was ahead of me. Years and years of reading books, writing papers, and studying for exams, it seemed like an eternity. But then I remembered a key piece of advice my dad once shared. Planning is fine, but focus on what you are doing today. When you follow that approach, all the pieces will eventually fall into place. You just have to be consistent, learn from your mistakes, and stick with the plan. My dad spent over 40 years in sales and traveled all over America. He never worried about the competition because, to quote him, "I work harder." I think a lot of his philosophy about life came from growing up on a farm. In other words, chores don't get done by playing politics. Chores get done because you did the chores. I've tried to adhere to this mindset with the podcast. I didn't know exactly where it was going to go, but I had a vision and a purpose. The rest of it was just a lot of hard work. Now I want to thank those who have helped make the content great. First, thank you to Sarah for helping get the podcast off the ground. Co-hosting with you was a blast. I already miss your conspiracy theories. And a giant thank you to Colin is certainly deserved. His frequent appearances on the show have given all of us a newfound appreciation for corporate compliance and security. It is most definitely a difficult job. And thank you to Brian, who you will be hearing from in just a minute. His keen interest in evolving technologies and the future have added a unique dimension to the podcast. In fact, I will add that many of Colin's and Brian's episodes are in the podcast's top 15 most listened to. So it goes without saying, you will be hearing much more from both in 2024. Also, thank you to all the guests who have appeared on the show in 2023. You have played an integral role in developing this community as we work to close the knowledge gap and make privacy and identity protection a more approachable subject for the world. And finally, thank you to Augustine and Kaylin, who edit the episodes. That's right, this finished product doesn't just happen on its own. While you both are behind the scenes, you deserve immense credit for helping to produce a professional-sounding final product. The episode that follows this intro is number 53. Not only is it the last episode of 2023, it also marks the one-year anniversary of Privacy Files. It hasn't been perfect, but we have learned from our mistakes, and we strive to apply those lessons in each subsequent episode. We wrap up the year by clarifying the concept of compartmentalizing one's digital life. It is the key to reducing your digital footprint, and it's the core value proposition of MySudo. We also talk about one of the coolest new releases for MySudo, the web browser extension. It's a tool that makes compartmentalizing your digital life super easy. Finally, thank you to you, the listener. With more than 4,000 followers of Privacy Files, and many more who listen but haven't subscribed, you have made this a special place for people who believe that privacy is a human right. Thank you. Enjoy the episode. You're listening to Privacy Files. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app, and Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating privacy solutions into their software. And please check out our newest offering, MySudo VPN, now available in the App Store and Play Store, a consumer VPN that is actually private. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be here. I'm very excited for this episode.
And you know what it is, right?
Ooh, are we... can't remember. It's escaping me right now. Is that something to do with a full year?
Yes, sir. Can you believe it? Now, normally, I wouldn't like spend a lot of time on this kind of stuff because I like to get straight to the content. By the way, excuse the voice, a little bit of head cold. So I'm going to be fighting that. But yeah, it's been 1 year. This is episode number 53. And it's hard to believe, but that time has gone by really fast.
It's been a crazy year. Loved seeing how the podcast went from, you know, in a tiny little studio office in a WeWork to where we are now, having guests regularly, building the actual full studio to get video next year. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a crazy year.
Yeah, and you mentioned the guests. Our last two guests were, they were not part of the company either. So these were totally external guests, and they're getting interesting. Our most recent one, we just posted that episode the other day, and he was very entertaining, let's say. We had to do some editing, if you will, but he had a lot of good stuff to say, and it's great to build this community because ultimately the goal of this podcast was to make this topic approachable. So we're educating people, we're closing the knowledge gap, we've said that before, but what's wrong with being entertaining too, right? Have a little fun. I mean, people like that. I know you do.
Oh, yeah. You know it. I'm all about the entertainment. I'm still vying for the metaverse.
Yeah, and normally I like to get straight to the topic because I know that's what people like to do. But I think it is worthy to kind of, first of all, just thank everybody, right? I mean, we now have over 4,000 active followers across several platforms on this podcast. And some people have reached out to us here and there, just giving us some encouragement, thanking us. And I appreciate that. I mean, we really are creating a community. I know it sounds cliche, but the goal here is really to close the knowledge gap, spread some of that information, give people some easy tips on how to get started and not to be overwhelming. Maybe sometimes we've gotten too technical, but I don't think this episode's going to be that. I think this is a really good topic to round out the year and congratulate ourselves and the audience for helping us get through this 1 year. So I'm excited. How about you?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
Let's do it. What's interesting about this episode is when we first started the podcast, it never occurred to me that the concept of compartmentalizing one's digital life was something that needed, I guess, a lot of explanation. But we've been to some conferences over the last 6 months or so, and talking to people, it's clear that this needs to be addressed a little bit. Because there's really two approaches to becoming more private. Obviously, one is technology. We've talked about decentralized identity on this show for several episodes. But then there's also giving the empowerment to the individual. And I think you're going to talk a little bit about what you do, how you use MySudo to compartmentalize your digital life. But those two together, at least for the time being, will help people eliminate that data trail. And maybe down the road, it's just technology that fixes that. But I think right now, I think it's important to help people understand compartmentalization. So maybe you want to start off with giving a use case example or two.
Yeah, totally. And the best way that I love to talk about compartmentalization, to me, it's taking the things you do, and maybe this is a little cliche, but creating a different you every time you're doing something online. And so, like me, I love to make content and specifically cooking videos online, but I completely separate out all of my personal information from my social accounts. Anything that I'm doing that has to pertain with that is all using the same little bit of same phone number and email that I get from MySudo. And so that way, if say someone's coming after me or hacking that account or something like that, that's all they're getting. They're just getting my cooking information, my cooking social. It's staying away from my bank. It's staying away from my other sections of my life. And so each one of those, I have one for food ordering because that's just purely notification based. I don't want all those notifications coming through my actual email. I don't want the advertisements from them. And also, like, your personal information, I'm sure there's layers of security when you're using DoorDash or something, but it always seems weird to me that they would be messaging a random DoorDasher that I've never met in my life that the company has deemed good enough to work for them has a direct line to my personal phone number. And so that's another way that I compartmentalize or mask my personal information. but it keeps it separate. And I think that's the core of compartmentalization is so if one area of your life gets attacked, stolen, maybe lost a password or something like that, it's only that part of your life that's affected. And that won't spill over to maybe the risk of getting identity theft. One of the best metaphors that I have for privacy is it's kind of like taking your vitamins. You right now, a lot of the times it's like taking a grandma horse-sized vitamin when you're trying to protect your privacy. You got to choke it down. You really don't look forward to it. It breaks your convenience and everything like that. And what I strive to do as a designer for my pseudo is to bring the Flintstone gummies, the things that you actually look forward to taking in the morning because it got that sweetness, that chewy, and make it a fun, engaging experience and also convenient. So it's not standing in your way. And one of the coolest things that we are just releasing for my pseudo is a browser extension. And so, Rich, with a browser extension, you'll be able to one-click autofill all of these details to help you compartmentalize even further. So now I can use the mobile app within my mobile desktop browser.
Okay, yeah. And before we get into details on that one, because that's, I think we'll do that kind of in the second half of this. I wanted to build out more of this concept behind compartmentalization. So let's say on the extreme end, we went to this Pinners conference in early November here in Salt Lake. And that's where, again, where all the Pinterest fans attend. And there's a lot of shopping and creative DIY stuff and so forth. I did a privacy class. And one of the things that came out of that was people have been using the same contact information for years. There was one lady, I think, who had been using the same email and phone number for 10 or 15 years. Now, that's the extreme opposite, right? That's the no-no. If you're using that same email and phone number for everything you do, and then like you said, something gets breached. Well, now it's connected to your banking, your healthcare, you name it. And now you've got a lot of damage control to do. But if, let's say you're using my pseudo, you're on pseudo max and you have 9 pseudos, and now you've got 9 sets of phone numbers and emails, well, you have one of those hacked. It's not a big deal, right? It's more manageable. But the part that I think people, they don't seem to fully grasp, but I think it's important to underscore this, is it's not just the email and the phone number that you're providing. I guess for advertisers, let's say, that's the basics. Those are the identifiers, but it's this behavioral data, this profile that's being built on you over time that the data aggregators and the brokers are creating, and they're buying information, consolidating, compiling, and that information is not necessarily transparent to you, right? You don't know that you're giving this information about your browsing history and shopping history and even the banks that sell transactional data that it's supposedly, I mean, it is anonymized, but there have been tests, there have been experiments done where people have figured out ways to de-anonymize that data. So there is exposure there too. So I think what's important to understand is one of the terms that we like to use is digital exhaust. Just like a car has an exhaust pipe, everything you do online, there's residual, right? You got all of this information coming out the back that you might not be aware that you're sharing. And I think that's where this compartmentalization concept helps. You're just doing a little bit, it's a little bit of an effort to make sure that it's harder to tie any one activity back to your actual personal data. Because I'm sure, Brian, you still have an email address and a phone number that's very personal to you that you use with your family members, for instance, right?
Exactly. And you know, the funny part about that is like, little did I know that my 12-year-old self, when I was picking out my first email, is going to be still with me to this day. And I'm sure a lot of people also have that experience. They're still using that same email they created the first time they logged onto a computer in their childhood. And so, yes, I do still use that, but it's, you know, friends and family and
yeah,
and some other stuff.
And that's okay. That's fine. I look back at some of the mistakes I've made, and it's hard to recover from that, right? I've got the one email address that I've been using for you know, again, at least probably 10 years, but now I've limited that to friends and family. But I have, you know, like say in the last 5 years, I've used that email address for things that I know I should not have. Mm-hmm. And then I just, the flood of spam and the scammer emails and you name it. And yeah, that's a hard one to recover from. And yeah, it's inconvenient. I mean, I hate seeing my inbox filled up with a bunch of stuff that really is not relevant to me, but it would be nice if it was just clean. But that's on the advertising side too. Then there's also the bad actors that can get involved and they take that information and find ways to steal your identity. So it's one angle to talk about it. Maybe you have another perspective too. I don't know that you want to address when it comes to compartmentalization.
Even on that, just furthering your point, I think maybe it's even a little more approachable. You feel like you can hit that unsubscribe button. There are some standards, but I feel like it's so much harder to clean up your phone number. Like who even knows like the techniques? I know you can put yourself on the do not call list or something like that, but it doesn't seem to do much. I've done that myself. I still get spam calls. And I think that you really hit on a good point that lapse in like whether it's a convenience thing or you're rushed. I know for me, it's always I'm in a time crunch and I'm like, oh no, I can't use my pseudo. I'll just use what I have been using for years because I want to make sure this goes quickly and smoothly. Maybe I have my wife breathing down my neck and I'm like trying to fumble and open up, look up my other phone number. And she's like, quit it. Let's just get out of here.
But, don't be that guy.
Yeah. But it's a slippery slope and it leads to just a lot of work afterwards that you have to reclaim your privacy.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. They know everything about you. They've got your data saved.
You better watch out. You'll probably cry. Your account's been hacked and we're telling you why. Bad actors are coming to town.
They're making a list. They found it online. They purchased their gifts with your cards this time. Bad actors are coming to town.
Just like Santa, bad actors are often hidden from sight. But fear not. With MySudo, you have the ideal safeguard. MySudo lets you control what information you share, ensuring your digital life stays private. This holiday season, stay joyful, bright, and most importantly, secure. To learn more, go to MySudo.com. That's MySudo.com. Stay private.
I remember when the cell phones really became a thing. And initially, the understanding was you wouldn't get telemarketers calling your cell number because it was different. And that lasted for a while. But then as your landlines disappeared, you knew it was going to happen because, mm-hmm. you know, the telemarketers are not going to go away. And so over time, I would say probably the majority of the phone calls I get are exactly that. They're scammers and spammers.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating to the point where most of the time now I just have my phone numbers on silence.
Exactly. And it's like, if it's an actual person, they'll leave a voicemail.
Yeah. But again, you know, somewhere behind the scenes in this game of data brokers and aggregators, they've been doing their hard work figuring out, oh, this is Brian, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's why it's so important to have these multiple sets of email and phone numbers, because it is easy to tie all these activities back to you when you're just using one set of an email and phone number over time.
So Rich, I find it fascinating when I'm talking to a marketing professional as like yourself, in some of those stories of like how they have used data in the past or the companies that they worked for and where that line of like, is it ethical? Is it not? And kind of a little insight into more of the like issue and why it's so important to compartmentalize.
Yeah. In the first company I worked for right out of college, digital marketing was just starting to take off, right? So that dates me a little bit. And we had a customer database, right? So it was a business to business operation. and we had what I would consider incomplete data. So you have a record, Brian, for instance, and you might have Brian's phone number, but you don't have the email address. Or you might have a physical address, because again, this is a while ago, but you don't have anything related to a phone number or an email address or something that's easier to contact somebody as opposed to just snail mail. And so in those days, like Dun & Bradstreet, for instance, is a popular name. And you could, and we did, we had a relationship with them where they would go in, and these are third-party databases, essentially. And there were others that we used too. And we would go in and we'd do a match, essentially. And it wasn't perfect, but we would have our database manager go in and, to the best of her ability, match our records that we had on file with current customers or prospects that we were working with this third-party database. So there's this appending of information. It wasn't perfect, but it was typically 65-70% accurate.
Yeah. And how long ago was that?
I mean, you know, you're talking 20 years ago now, probably. Oh,
the technology must just be insane now.
I mean, yeah, if you could do that 20 years ago today, it's like you don't provide very much information, and now you get all of this additional attribute information that you can append to a record. So it's ethical. I mean, it was, you know, it's, you know, to an extent, I guess you could say. I mean, especially back then when it was a lot harder to come by information, but I can only imagine what's going on now in that space. Now, it's pulled back a little bit when it comes to email addresses, because obviously people have become much more sensitive about email and, you know, the whole opt-in concept. There's the Can't Spam Act. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be doing mass marketing to somebody via email, then you really need to have a prior relationship with that individual. Otherwise, you're in a gray area to way beyond.
Yeah. And it's crazy to think that, like, you know, when people hear third party data brokers and stuff like that, I think their mind goes to like the dark web. But it's like,
no,
these are like fully legal abiding businesses that are literally using it as currency.
It's back to our episode on OSINT and who's watching you. It's open source intelligence, right? There's people are very unaware of how much of a footprint they have online. That without spending any money, I can do research online and I can find out all this information that's publicly available about you or me or whoever, and then build these databases and then turn around and sell that to advertisers or worse, to bad actors. So the world is in that space. It is as alive as it's ever been. And that's not even talking, like you said, about the dark web, which is many levels above this.
Yeah, and I think it just having these conversations, it reminds me how important that compartmentalization is. Like, to be able to prevent that from happening, from your data be aggregated together, it's crucial to separate it out and not use the same thing for everything. I mean, it's the same thing as passwords. It's why everybody knows you're not supposed to use the same password for every login. You're not. So why isn't that the same for email and phone number?
Right.
Right. It's like taking that a step further, and you know, it's great privacy practice for passwords. And now let's do it with all of our other personal information.
Yeah. And I guess to really emphasize, to make sure that it's clear, the reason compartmentalization is effective is because the more often you're using different sets of emails and phone numbers, the harder it is for those data aggregators and brokers to know that it's you, Brian. That's the key. If you're using the same set of, you know, email and phone numbers all the time, then yeah, it's going to be very easy for these data aggregators and brokers who are building these third-party databases and then selling it to businesses that I've worked with in the past. It's very easy for them to build those databases and sell them and be very confident that the information is accurate. But if you're a good MySudo user like Brian is, then you've got all this different information and it's easy to trick those data aggregators. That's the key. And then obviously too, with decentralized identity and that technology continuing to evolve, might get to a point where it's not even necessary. because the DI is going to do the work for you and you're going to control your data and there won't be monetization of data anymore. Maybe unless you give permission, but in the future with DI, you own the data, it's yours. You give permissions, who can have what and what information over what period of time, and then you can withdraw those permissions at any point.
Yeah. DI is going to change the world for so much better. I mean, it really is it's going to allow us to truly own our data and how we share it. It's super exciting.
Yeah. And we have some exciting developments on that. And I think Matt will be coming back and talking about some developments in the banking industry with respect to decentralized identity and verifiable credentials, reusable credentials, very exciting stuff. So that's a little sneak peek into the first quarter of 2024. But Brian, you did mention this exciting new tool for MySudo, probably the coolest thing that I've seen since I've been here at Anonymy that really makes it easy for you to compartmentalize your digital life. Let's talk about that a little bit.
We are just about to release the MySudo browser extension. And so essentially what the main focus of this first release is to allow for auto-filling these details. It's all about, like I said earlier, making it the Flintstone gummies and not the chalky horse pills. And so what you'll be able to do with this is when you're online shopping, and especially for your holiday shopping, I've been using it in the beta mode, all doing my holiday shopping. Whenever I'm on this, and you find yourself going to a bunch of different sites where you have to create an account, add your payment details and everything like that. And it's a long process, and it can be even longer if every single time I'm looking up on my phone, my MySudo details for my phone number and my email. And now all it is right when I click into that form field that says my name or my email or phone, a little pop-up comes up and I can choose which pseudo I want to use. And then it will autofill not only that form, but all the other forms that can be filled with your MySudo credentials. And so it's just like a one-click seamless sign up. It works well with password managers because right now it doesn't have the ability. And so it's a very powerful tool and just all about convenience and making it a better experience. And my absolute favorite thing to do right now with it is when I'm signing up for a DoorDash order, it's a one click and then I'm not giving out my DoorDash at all. And that's one of those moments where it's usually like I'm in a rush or I don't want to delay, or it's important that I get that notification about, you know, are they 5 minutes away? Or are they 10 minutes away? I'm always checking. And now it's just even easier to use MySudo instead of my actual personal information.
And I guess to underscore how these two topics are connected, right? Compartmentalization of one's digital life, the web browser extension. I think the best way to explain it is it's the convenience factor of how easy is it if I've got 9 pseudos to go back and I got to copy the information. I'm on Amazon. I want to buy this. And it's extra work. I know it sounds ridiculous. It's almost like, it's a first world problem, right? Ooh, big deal. You got to copy all this information. But that is the reality of people today. Any friction that gets in the way can prevent somebody from using a tool. So in this particular case, it's like the coolest tool that I've seen in MySudo that makes compartmentalization of your digital life so much more seamless. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have an excuse anymore for not being true to the pseudos. Like if you have Pseudomax and you've got 9 pseudos and you're on Amazon, you're doing your online shopping, you don't have an excuse anymore. It's super easy. So what are the steps to get set up with the web browser extension?
Yeah, so it's a really easy, seamless setup. You can go to any of your browser websites. Well, not any. We support all of Chromium browsers, Firefox, Safari, and Edge, which is a Chromium browser. And so you can go to the extension store for that, or you can go to our site, mysudo.com, look up the browser extension. We have links to each of those stores. Once you're there, you download it, a QR code will show up, you get your MySudo app open. In the left-hand menu, you can navigate to the link your browser extension. Super easy. Once you click on that, you can scan the QR code and it will automatically sync. You'll get a success message and then you're ready to use it. And you can go out and it'll be on your desktop. One of the things to mention here, though, is it is an integration for desktop browsers, not for mobile browsers. That will be coming soon. But for this first launch, we focused on kind of being able to bring your sudos on your phone onto your laptop or other device that you're using.
That's awesome. So to walk through a scenario again, let's say I'm going to buy myself a present for Christmas and I want a shiny new mountain bike. And yeah, so I'm on a website and I am ready to purchase. And I get to the purchase section. It starts asking me information. What's the first thing I'm going to notice that's different now that I've got this web browser extension?
Yeah, so you're on that payment page. You're super excited. We've all been there. And what's super cool about this is it just kind of is a gentle nudge to remind you. So once you've clicked into that first field, that maybe it's your first name while you're signing up for an account, you'll see a tiny little MySudo icon pop up in the form that you're filling out your name in. And it'll either be sitting next to your password manager or by itself. And it's just a little reminder that's like, hey, this field can be filled by MySudo. And so it's not only a convenience thing, but also this little bit of a gentle nudge to use your compartmentalization. It's that reminder, because when you're in that excited state of buying a mountain bike, the last thing you want to do is think about privacy. And so it's that magical moment of like, I don't have to think about this anymore. It's there for me when I need it. And it's just going to be a little thing. You click on that icon and then you'll have access to autofill with any of those sudos.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Hey there, go-getters. Ready to tackle those New Year's resolutions? We know you are, and so is MySudo. MySudo isn't just about privacy. It's about organization and focus too. With multiple pseudo profiles, you can separate your work life from your home life, your side hustle from your social connections. No more distractions, no more clutter. Just pure resolution achieving productivity. Looking to get fit? Create a fitness pseudo. Want to learn a new language?
Hola.
There's a pseudo for that. Each with its own dedicated email and browser to keep you laser focused on your goals. So let's make this the year you stick to your resolutions. Download MySudo and start living a more organized, focused life today. Here's to a productive new year. To learn more, go to MySudo.com. That's MySudo.com. Stay private.
So at what point does the pseudo selector show up? So you can select which pseudo you want to use before you start doing the autofill part.
Exactly, yeah. So once you've activated a form and you could have typed something or not, then you can select that and it will fill out that form that you're currently in, as well as any of the forms that it can autofill with your MySudo credentials. So on an account signup page, you could see first name, last name, email, phone number, password. It will fill out just with one click with that pseudo. It'll fill out your first name, your last name, your phone number, and your email with the pseudo details that you chose. You know, then you can use a password manager or your own password alongside those credentials. There's plans in the distant future, well, not so distant future, to integrate a password manager into MySudo. But for the time being, we want to make it as convenient to add it into your privacy ecosystem.
And again, which browsers does this work on?
So Google Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Edge, and then other Chromium builds that use the same extension store as the Chrome store.
That's awesome. And you've been part of the team working on this too.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been the lead designer on the project, and it's been a few months of just constant user testing, making this as seamless and easy. I mean, I'm all about just like, can we make this as easy and least amount of friction in your user experience? And so this has been a huge win for me personally, because I feel like it's that one of the biggest step forwards we've taken into addressing the convenience issue, which when it comes down to it, it's our number one issue with privacy, is like your give and take between convenience and being private.
And what's some of that feedback you've been getting during testing?
Yeah. So we've heard people like an instant, like, oh, it was a one click sign up for Amazon, or it was a, I had no clue. I had forgotten I had downloaded it during the tests that we did. And 4 days later, they messaged me and were like, hey, I just used my MySudo and I didn't even realize I was going to use it, because it reminded me that I could compartmentalize that portion of my life. I didn't even know I had it downloaded until that little icon came up. Huh. And so it's just like really exciting to hear people actually say, like, I think they were most excited that they didn't have to think. It was doing the work for them. It was meeting them in that moment of when you make that decision to be private or not, and kind of taking away a lot of the legwork that you usually would have to do yourself.
It eliminates that excuse of, just this time. I'll use my personal information this one time. I'll worry about my pseudo next time, right? It's especially with the holiday season, people doing a lot of shopping. It's easy for the sake of time. You're buying gifts. You just like, let's just get right to it. I'm not going to worry about the MySudo stuff. But so this is version one, essentially. Are you able to give us a sneak peek into possibly what might be coming down the road?
I mean, as long as the listeners know that none of this has been committed, and I have a product manager that I work with that would probably kill me if I talked about
Or just what are some things that are on the table, I guess, that you're talking about and discussing?
Yeah, and let's see. If I had to say my dream for the browser extension, it would be able to be having the ability to seamlessly do my account sign up. And so this might also work with a desktop version of MySudo or with the browser extension, but being able to sign up for that account. And then, you know, you get this confirmation email for a lot of account sign up that says like, hey, you have to confirm your email before you can use our product. And so currently with the MySudo browser extension, you would have to go back to your phone, and then you hit that when it goes to your MySudo inbox, you have to hit that confirm, and then you refresh your desktop page. I love that to be a convenient, just like one and done in the browser extension. We're going to be quickly adding virtual card capability.
Oh, really?
And so you'll be able to autofill with your virtual cards.
Oh, wow.
What that will really enable is just another layer of privacy.
Again, that's another example now on virtual cards, which is a different tool in MySudo, to make that an easier process now. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that I think is number one most wanted on our next release map. Again, none of these have been set in stone.
Yeah.
So
sure. Yeah, of course. And what I'm thinking, because as you said, it's desktop or web browser first, but when you're thinking about mobile, and this is just me, I don't do really a lot of shopping in an app, because maybe I'm old school. I like to see the big screen and see all the items that I'm working with. It sounds like it probably is a little more technically complicated, because if you're going to do mobile, it's probably going to be apps. People are shopping using the Amazon app, eBay, whatever it might be. And that's, I would assume that's more complicated.
Yeah. So to kind of lay out how mobile shopping works, and this is kind of from the social media. So let's say you're scrolling through your feed and you get influenced. There's the newest mountain bike, DualShocks, everything Rich has dreamed of in a bike. It's got that nice matte black finish on it. And so he gets super excited. He's like, I want to buy this now. And what happens is it actually pulls up the shop within their own browser within the app. And so most apps operate this way. So say you're in Instagram, you click that, it's going to open in Instagram's browser. And so they are fully in control of all the data you're entering into a third-party shop and everything, because you're using their browser. And so not only are you sharing all your information with that store, you're sharing it with Facebook, Meta, and So it is a little harder because that shopping experience for mobile, these companies have this stranglehold on you to keep them in their app.
Right.
And so one of the things, though, and hopefully in the near future for the browser extension app, is bringing it to mobile browsers. So even if you've been influenced on Instagram, you could go out of the app to Google Chrome, find that store on your mobile browser, and then integrate with an autofill feature within that device. So Apple does it through your keyboard bar. And so hopefully you'll be able to access MySudo through that keyboard bar when you're doing things on your phone. And then I think Google has a little bit more capabilities. I think you can do a little bit of drop down as well as a keyboard add-on. So that's where we would grow in the mobile browser extension autofill space. But the hardest thing is that these apps keep you in their ecosystem so they can harvest as much data off of you. And so that's almost a PSA to people, is like, you know, if you think that that you're linking off from Instagram when you click on an ad, you're not. You're still in the app the whole time you're doing your shopping experience.
You're talking about the tracking, especially when it comes to the apps. I always smile when I see an app and that little prompt that comes up and it says, ask app not to track. And I'm like, the language of that bothers me. Like, I have to ask? Like, it's my phone. Why? It should just be a given. Like, I'm the dictator of my phone, right? And I wish they would change that language and just say, do not track. Mm-hmm. I think that's so funny. And it's almost like that's intentional. You know, part of the dark patterns where they try to steer you in the direction that's most advantageous to them.
Yeah, it honestly, it's ridiculous. Like, it leaves me as a user thinking, well, this means nothing. Like, all I'm doing is requesting that they don't, like, what is there any rule? Do they have to follow through on this? I haven't looked into it. So I always click ask app not to track, but I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, can they just say no?
It's almost like the language is there in that way to cover themselves. Because I've still seen some research saying that even though you say not to track, there's still some tracking going on. And so maybe that's why the language is a little softer. Where, hey, ask app not to track. There could be something to that, because obviously there's been lawsuit after lawsuit over the last couple of years in this space. So not that it's making a dent, because again, these companies are making billions of dollars off of this data, but it's an interesting angle. So anyway, back to the web browser extension. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on that? It's a really cool tool. A lot of work, it sounds like, has gone into it, but I would imagine as much work has gone into it for the end user, it just seems like it's going to be very seamless. Hey, maybe the better way to ask the question is, why don't you just kind of recap, give us the highlights of what the web browser extension is, and I think we'll wrap up this episode.
Yep. So what the browser extension will do is take any of your sudos that you have set up in your mobile device, bring it to your desktop browser of choice, the four that we outlined, Google Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Edge. And then you'll be able to autofill with one click your MySudo details. You can also manually copy and paste your sudo details. Say you just want the phone number and you want to paste it in really quick, or for some reason that site isn't working with autofill. And then we have a cool sync feature where you can click it, and any updates that you've done on your phone to your sudos, say you changed out an email or a phone number or redid your first and last name, a picture, all that will be updated by just clicking on that sync button. And then easy, seamless way to contact our support in case you're encountering trouble.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. I'm excited. And you're saying release of January?
Actually, it's scheduled to release this week.
This week. Okay.
Yeah. So don't want to put a solid date on it, but we got it through our final round of testing, and it's gearing up to launch. So very excited to to bring it to the public and see everybody using compartmentalization even easier than before.
And both Android and iOS, or just one right now?
So it will be launching on both iOS and Android.
Awesome.
Depending on what you have for your mobile device, and then it will connect in with your desktop browser, and that can be a Mac or Windows desktop browsers.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And then I guess to round it out, you know, we started off with talking about compartmentalizing one's digital life. Can't emphasize that enough. Right now, that is really, it's really about taking ownership of your personal data. It really is. Until DI comes along, I think that's your best approach to really fighting that battle with data aggregators and brokers. And just be vigilant. You know, every time somebody asks you when you go to a store, it just happened the other day. I'm going to a store shopping, and matter of fact, I don't want to name the store. I think it's probably not the best approach, but I would love to. But I was at a store at the mall, and it was just like it was required. She just looks up at me. She's like, "Okay, email address." And I'm like, "Why do I have to give you my email address?"
The assumption,
yes,
by those workers, it always gets under my skin. I'm like, can you at least have the decency to ask if I want to share my email? But they look at you dead in the eyes, and they're just like, email address. And
you're exactly. Like,
no, thank you.
Well, it's funny too, because I've been out of the country for about 11 days or so. I was in Colombia. Oh, you know, yes,
that
maybe that's a story for another time. But there is, especially as a I guess as a foreign citizen, you even have to provide your passport when you're in some stores just to shop.
Wow.
And again, you're a different country, different set of rules, on and on and on. You know, I didn't look into all the details of what, maybe it's has something to do with, you know, looking out for laundering of money for drugs, whatever it might be. But I guess in some respects we get kind of spoiled here in the United States is what I'm trying to say, is like, we're very passionate about being free and private. And sometimes you forget that that's not always the case around the world. And that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm angry because somebody expects me to give them my email address. And I just spent 11 days where people kept asking me for my passport number just because I wanted to go buy a pair of jeans in a store.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Perspectives. Anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up?
Yeah. So one of the things that I was listening to, one of my other favorite podcasts called Tech Meme Ride Home, just reviewing the day in tech, if you will. And they were talking about a new marketing company that it's called CMG, I think. And they are actively saying that they have active voice data. And what they mean by that is they are selling the ability to listen into ambient conversations that you're having. So all the things that we joke about, and for years people are saying your devices are listening to you, it is the first, at least that I've heard, of concrete evidence of this being true. And there's the article that they shared goes on and on about all the different ways that a business can use this data to do targeted ads based off of a conversation where someone is talking about the product or something close to it. And there's multiple personal accounts that this company is selling it. I mean, they literally have a website that talks all about it, and they defend that it's legal and everything. It just blows my mind.
So you're not just a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist.
No. And it should, I don't know, it might build the ego of the tinfoil hats, but like dead on this one, because it is a thing. So yes, be careful your smartphone now.
And you're saying when your phone is just like, you're not using it.
Exactly.
It's just passively listening to you.
And what they talked about is a lot of this is done through privacy policies of other apps that you've downloaded, as well as phone manufacturers and how it built into their software. And so who knows how they're getting access to the microphone on your phone.
How is that legal?
I don't know. I guess go visit their website and check it out, because they have to defend themselves somehow.
And they're monetizing this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for depressing me.
Hey, we're on the hunt to make sure that people are safe and full of all the most recent privacy knowledge. And so I thought I'd just share that as an ending thought.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, sorry. Black Mirror is real. We're getting closer and closer to those episodes every day.
Well, Brian, on that note, we're going to wrap up. Happy 1 year anniversary.
Happy 1 year. You put a lot of work into this, Rich, and I sure appreciate listening to it. I mean, I feel like my knowledge of privacy has just grown exponentially over the year just by tuning in and listening to the different voices that you've had on the podcast.
Yeah, it's helped me without a doubt. And as I said before in the beginning, thank you to the audience. Thanks to everybody for listening, hanging in there, giving me your feedback and input, whether it's been LinkedIn or emails. And I look forward to having an even more successful, exciting 2024.
What can we look forward to in 2024?
Well, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, we're sitting in a studio right now that's a work in progress. So we are going to bring video to the show. And for the good or the bad, I'm not so sure. it's gonna bring some interesting challenges, but yeah.
Is hair and makeup in the budget for next year, or are we going
we're baby steps.
Naturel.
Yeah, we'll go baby steps first. But yeah, you were sitting in the studio right now. I think it's gonna be really cool. And it's gonna help, I think, give a little bit more. I don't know what you want to call it. It's going to help give a little extra dimension, I think, to the podcast that you don't get with audio alone. I know most people, they listen to podcasts when they're working out or they're in the car, and it's easy because you just have to listen to the audio part. But there's a lot of people today that do like to see the video component of it, especially if there are things that are happening that maybe you can't really explain through audio, which means we'll probably be adding some things to the podcast that we would not have done this year because it was audio only. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing that's going to be interesting. And I look forward to having you on many more times.
Always here for you.
And who knows where that might go. Maybe it becomes a regular installment of something. I know you believe in the future. So.
Yes. Yeah. The future is now. I'm coining that term.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting. I'm sure there's going to be some hiccups, and we'll figure them out. But that's the only way you get better, and that's the only way you find the sweet spot is you just got to keep trying, and that's exactly what we plan on doing. And also, we are working on a true crime version, kind of in the privacy data space that a couple members of the team have been exploring, and I'm not sure where that's going to go, but. But there's definitely, I think, a true crime component to privacy and data security. So I'm excited.
Great. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Well, thank you for your time. And I look forward to seeing you in 2024.
See you there.
All right. Take care, Brian. Thanks. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Privacy Files, our final episode of 2023. We're going to take a little break for the holiday season. In the second week of January, we'll be back in the recording studio working hard to demystify the topics of privacy and identity protection. Thank you for supporting this podcast with your time, a finite and precious resource. I am extremely grateful. In the coming days, I hope you share many good moments with family and friends. See you in 2024. And remember, privacy is a human right.